There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, Bechdel cast listeners.
It's me, Caitlin.
And me, Jamie.
And we're here to just remind you about our new Patreon page.
Just a little nudge. We explained it in the last episode, but we have a new Patreon page. Basically, the deal is it's $5 a month. You'll get 2 bonus episodes of the Bechdel cast every month. Could be live episodes.
Could be a new released movie, because usually we do older movies, but what if we did brand new movies?
Yeah, and then
we'll
do commentary for some of our favorite movies. And the whole idea is we want to get you guys extra stuff, and we also always need help sort of covering the production costs for the show, and hope to be touring and doing festivals as time goes on, so you'd be doing us a big favor.
It's a win-win!
Yeah, we'll give you stuff in return.
You win. We win.
Patreon.com/BechdelCast.
Yeah, and you can also access it through our website if you go to BechdelCast.com/support. You can click on the Patreon button, it'll take you right to the page, you can subscribe, you can give us the money that you want to give us and that we want to receive.
Get 5 nipples forever. Be a patron today.
Yay!
The Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
And this is our Bechdel cast. It's about movies. It's about women. It's about women in movies. Do they do good? Do they do bad? Let's find out.
It's a bit of everything.
I failed in the middle.
We are recording in New York City right now.
New York City. Hey, alternative location.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Which means Aristotle isn't with us. He passed away.
Ooh, fun.
No, Aristotle is alive and well. But we're both here in New York. We're going to be recording our live episode later tonight. But here we're with our friends, with some pals.
We're among friends. Quick update. I don't have mics hard. That's on me. But I will procure one, I think, for the live episode. I mean, that's my plan.
Yeah,
like
you'll have time.
Like an hour and a half to find it. Yeah, like I'll figure it out really quick. I was in Boston last night and I met this person, probably the worst person I've ever met, but his name was Kevin. My friend and I were trying to find somewhere quiet to catch up. And this Kevin just came out of nowhere and was like, I didn't get into Harvard Business School. He cried, and then I asked him if he knew what the Bechdel test was, and he asked if that was a standardized test, because he was in the Harvard Business School zone. So anyways, I got to see a man really at his lowest last night, and it felt like a really good way to come in here.
Yeah, that's encouraging. No, I get exactly what you mean. And if you are like Kevin, and you don't know what the Bechdel test is, we're here to tell you. It's a test that you apply
segue.
To... Thank you.
You can edit out that whole story. I just told that. No,
I'm keeping it. If you don't know what the Bechdel test is, it's a test that you apply to movies or TV shows or anything with a story. It requires that 2 women in the story talk to each other. They also have to have names, and their conversation has to be about something other than a man.
Hell yeah.
and we've explained it on every episode of our podcast. So you should, yeah, I suppose there's a couple we missed, but
people yell at us when we don't say the right things at the right times, and I remember, and it hurts my feelings.
I forgot to talk about Cat Facts last time, so
I forgot to talk about Alfred Molina, which is like I barely believe that, but it's possible.
In any case, we have a guest. As we always do.
Yeah, we have a guest. So our guest today, he's a delight. He lives in actually, it totally makes sense that you love this movie because this is such a loud, obnoxious Long Island style movie.
What am I allowed to talk and defend myself?
Wait, shut up. Okay. He's got a podcast. It's called TV Casualty. It's on what network?
Brain Machine Network.
Brain Machine. Shout out to Leif. It's Micah Breese.
Hi.
Hi.
I think we should address this. We're sitting beside each other.
It feels
and
weird.
And it's weird.
I don't want to make eye contact with Mike. I'd rather kill myself. But he's right there.
So happy to be here.
We're doing a bad job as hosts.
And I'm being an exceptional guest, I believe.
Well, let's talk about the movie, which is Beetlejuice. And you picked this movie. Why'd you pick this movie? What's your history with it? How many times have you seen it?
Let's see. I've probably seen this movie 200 times. Like, a lot.
Wow.
It was like a big movie of my childhood. I liked it a lot. I would rent it from the library pretty often.
Mm-hmm. So you were like watching Beetlejuice in Long Island.
Just sitting on the couch in my parents' house. Just loving Beetlejuice. Eating a bunch of Doritos, really having a good time.
How old were you? Cranking it to a young Winona Ryder.
Mm. Oh,
of course.
Every day.
Of course.
Every day is a day that I am trying hard not to get the Winona Forever tattoo that Johnny Depp had. Every day of my life.
I have a friend named Sammy who has that tattoo.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is it Winona or Wino?
Winona.
Oh,
forever.
Because Johnny has Wino forever.
Yeah,
now.
He's changed. Yeah,
which also like doesn't bode well with his current persona. Like it's just you can't win with that tattoo.
No.
Also, he's a coward for getting it removed. Just live with it.
Yeah,
or
mean,
cover it up.
What is forever?
That's true.
Time is a construct. So
yeah, that's true.
You're right.
But yeah, the first time I saw it, I was probably like 6 or 7 because I was like, this is a kid's movie. It seems fun. And then the first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know. No.
It looks like it, you'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think, but it's not.
That's kind of the Tim Burton thing where like everything looks like a kid's movie, but it also makes you feel very uncomfortable for a while.
Right.
As like Edward Scissorhands made me feel very uncomfortable as a child until I realized what it was.
I was very horny for Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Well, I don't share that sentiment, but okay. I liked that movie a lot for at least some span of time. I haven't seen it in a while.
It's a crier. It's a sad one. You're going to feel things. You're going to be you're going to feel compassionate. You're going to relate with a white man. It's going to be confusing. Edward Scissorhands, very hot.
Well, that movie,
it's a dry
that
shampoo.
Movie, and I think Beetlejuice also, and probably a lot of Tim Burton movies
hot take,
don't
Beetlejuice,
make any sense.
Kind of hot.
No.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. I don't like Beetlejuice the movie
Beetlejuice,
very much.
Feminist icon.
Feminist. Okay. Feminist icon Beetlejuice.
Yes. And one of my several problems with the movie Beetlejuice is that he's so grotesque to look at that
oh,
I can't.
Like he's too hot.
He's got like green scabs all over his forehead.
It's
yeah, that's
great.
Gross.
Now, you know what? That kind of makes sense why Jamie likes him.
He's covered in scabs.
He's covered in scabs. He has one suit that has pinstripes. He eats bugs.
He's a disgusting pervert. He has no respect for women. This is like my kind of guy.
Yeah,
but
really
mostly the scabs. Yeah. It's mostly the scabs and the, like, pancake facial makeup.
Well, when did you first see it?
I would guess, like, early teens. I've seen it maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, like, I don't know why. It seems like the kind of movie that I would, like, really, really get into. But I think I avoided it after a while because I didn't want to get looped in with the Hot Topic kids. I wanted to be a Hot Topic kid. But I, like, unlike other cliques that I tried to ingratiate myself into, aka the anime kids who rejected me heartily.
No.
The juggalos who rejected me heartily.
But they're a family.
They're not for me. Not if you have a back brace and you can't play hacky sack.
That doesn't sound like the juggalos I know.
The Juggalos, I know, like, you had to be able to play hacky sack. If you were physically not able to play hacky sack, that's the one thing that would mean you can't be a Juggalo.
I've seen so many pictures of Juggalos who definitely couldn't play hacky sack.
These ones
could. They're very accepting people.
They really are. Like, there's a... They did, like, a March for Equality... Anyways.
There's a documentary about feminism at the Gathering of the Juggalos. It's like a 20-minute piece.
I didn't know what a Juggalo was until I was, like, 28. Oh. I was like, what? Whoa. There's... What?
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, when did you see Beetlejuice?
I saw it... I remember it being on the TV when I was, like, probably six, and only remembering the image of, like, that stripy worm, like, going through the sand. Mm. And that was the only thing I remember about it. And I don't think I saw it since then until a couple days ago when I watched it to prep for this episode. So I like, live my life thinking, yeah, I know about Beetlejuice. I've seen it, and I know the things about it. And it turns out I don't. Like, I hadn't. And like I said, I don't like it that much. God. Sorry, everyone.
Unbelievable.
But...
Unbelievable.
I have... reasons, and they're good.
So, okay, I forgot about who's in Beetlejuice. I totally forgot Alec Baldwin's in Beetlejuice. And he looks
the hottest he's ever
been. Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's peak true. Alec Baldwin. It's
tight.
It's so
everything's tight. He doesn't and the have the right color.
He doesn't have that big gallon of milk head he has now yet. He looks like he's jawline.
He's got
is
a
out
skinny
of
head.
Oh god,
skinny head. It's, and I love Gina Davis.
Out of control.
She's good.
And Winona, didn't remember her being in it either.
Oh, really?
Didn't remember Catherine O'Hara being.
Catherine
in it.
O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara kills it. And she's
one of. I can't think of a movie that's worse for her being there.
Oh, wait.
That's a compliment.
Oh, okay, wait.
Like,
I thought
you were
saying the exact
better.
Opposite.
No, she makes everything better.
She makes everything great. She's amazing.
And then the guy who plays her husband in that movie is in my favorite Tim Burton movie. I don't remember the actor's name, but he's in Sleepy Hollow.
Ooh.
That is my favorite Tim Burton movie.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah?
You know, it's Johnny Depp being Johnny Depp, which turns out is a piece of shit. But it's a fun little thing.
He was the principal in Ferris Bueller.
Oh, okay. I saw that movie just the other day.
Jeffrey Jones is the actor's name.
Boo.
Was he?
He's great.
There was an actor who I believe was recent, in the last couple of years, definitely arrested for some sort of child pornography.
Perverted crime?
Yeah.
A perverted crime. We here at the Bechdel Cast love perverted
I don't want to say it was him, but I feel like it was him.
Okay, well, what's his name again?
Jeffrey Jones.
Continue to talk. I need to know.
Okay, well, should I do the recap?
Sure, yeah. What's it about?
Well, my favorite movie, Beetlejuice, is about Beetlejuice and how he's a...
Feminist icon, Beetlejuice.
Feminist icon.
What if you had to say that three times?
Oh, yeah.
Feminist icon, Beetlejuice. Feminist icon, Beetlejuice. Feminist icon, Beetlejuice. And then he does the cute little... Yeah. I love him. He's cute.
So, Beetlejuice centers around a married couple, Adam and Barbara Maitland, which if I were to marry Adam or Barbara Maitland, my name would be Caitlin Maitland. So I might do that.
Astute observation.
Thank you so much. So Adam is played by Alec Baldwin and Barbara is Gina Davis. And they're living in this house and they love their house. They built a model of the town in their attic and they're having a great time. And they go out to the store and then they fall off a bridge. They crash off of a bridge and die. And it takes them a while to figure out that they've died, but they're back in their house and they're like, wait a minute, what's this book? The handbook for the recently deceased?
They're still hot.
They're still hot. They're not gross, ugly, scabby ghosts like Beetlejuice is.
Okay.
They're still cute.
It's because he's the ghost with the most.
He's the most scabs.
The most scab on his face. The ghost with the most scab on his face.
The most facial scabbing.
So they start to piece together that they are dead and that they're ghosts. And this new family moves in, and that's Catherine O'Hara.
And confirmed, the sex offender.
Oh, no.
Catherine O'Hara and the sex offender coming to CBS. Yeah, he's a sex offender.
Oh, no.
Confirmed.
Jeffrey.
2002.
Whoa.
Oh, that's much.
Misbehaving. Bad. That's what I say to all sex offenders. Bad. No misbehaving. That's bad.
Yeah. Slap on the wrist for you.
Basically, that's what happened. He had to go
that's
to
all he got.
He had to go to counseling and then just be like, "Hi, I'm respected actor, you know, disgraced human, Jeffrey Jones. I'm a sex offender."
Isn't that always the way?
Has anyone actually ever come to your door and been like, "I'm a sex offender"?
No, that's never happened to me.
I feel like there were, I mean, for sure, there were a ton of sex offenders in my neighborhood. And, like, who's checking to make sure that they tell you?
I don't know.
Right. There should be, like, a caseworker who, like, goes along with them to, like,
right,
confirm.
But then you never, like, they're always alone. Well, yeah. I don't know. I never.
As soon as we got the internet, my mom was obsessed with
sex
offender, like, listings to, like, yeah, find out how close they were to the house. Or how close they were to the school.
It's like Grindr for
well, we got one at 0.2 miles away. Let's see what's going on.
The sex offender and Catherine O'Hara, their characters have a daughter, and that's Winona Ryder.
Trouble.
And she's got black
She's
hair.
Not like the other girls.
She's got
she's
black
different.
Clothes.
She's different.
And they move in, and Adam and Barbara are like, "No, this is our house. Don't move in." And so they try to haunt them and
right.
scare them out.
Because they can't leave the house.
Right, because they, yeah. A rule is established for whatever reasons
yeah.
that they cannot leave their house. So they try to scare the Dietzes who move in, and that doesn't work. So then they go to this, like, afterlife waiting room. Which is
fun
the,
scene. Always the, a fun scene.
Love the waiting room
Tiny
so
Head,
much.
Love him. Shout out to Tiny Head.
Tiny Head my, has got it going on.
My man, yeah. Mm,
yeah.
Head. Broad shoulders on that tiny-headed guy.
It's. I mean, it really brings out how tiny his head is.
Yeah. His shoulders really highlight the size of his head.
So they go and they're like, "Hey, we need help." So they meet with this caseworker, Juno. And she's like, "You guys gotta be simple. Be a simple ghost. Do some simple hauntings." So then they try again to haunt them and scare them out of the house. And that doesn't work. And then they meet the daughter, Winona Ryder's character.
She's different. Here's the thing about her. She's different.
She's
a little bit different.
Her name's Lydia.
She's a goth.
Yeah.
She's a goth.
She's got insane bangs, and I hate them.
Oh, come on. They're pointy. They're fun.
They're pointy bangs.
They really are
I like
pointy.
Those they're very pointy. She looks sharp.
Yeah,
she's a sharp looking kid.
There's a lot of and, the whole movie has a lot of sharp looking elements in it.
Yeah, do you remember the scene where Beetlejuice is horny and but then he's also sharp?
The when oh, when yeah. Gina Davis is holding him and he has the spikes grow out of his body.
Yeah. I think that's fun. That's fun. When you get horny, you just get very sharp.
Yeah, that's literally
there's
you
a
get
lot
horny.
Of sharp objects in this. Yeah, Beetlejuice is you so get, horny.
Yeah, but like so literally he's covered
him.
In horns.
He's covored. Yeah,
and he's horny.
Pointy little. Horn.
Do you see it? What he's I'm like, doing?
No, I get it. I get it. I thought you
Let
were...
me explain further.
Wait, break it down.
So then they meet Lydia, and Lydia's like, "Wait, I can see you guys." And they're like, "Holy shit." So they, like, befriend Lydia, but they still hate Lydia's parents. So they're still trying to get them out. And then they hear about Beetlejuice.
Well, because the Catherine O'Hara, who's the stepmom, who are always evil. Stepmoms are bad.
Yeah.
We've all, step-parents in general are bad in movies
right.
and in real life.
Whoa.
I don't have any step-parents.
I was like, calm down. Yeah.
Yeah. This is where I just rail against my dad's girlfriend for 45 minutes. Catherine O'Hara and her interior designer friend,
mm-hmm.
Otho.
I love him.
Are going through the house and talking about which parts they want to tear down. That's when...
They're like, "We got to call this Beetlegeist dude."
Oh, yeah.
And then they figure out how to summon him when you have to call his name out 3 times. They figure it out, and then they go to his, like, little... He's, like, hanging out in a cemetery. They have to, like, dig him up out of his grave. And
lots
then,
of pomp and circumstance with Beetlejuice mm-hmm. coming out of the grave. He's yelling. He looks like he stinks.
I love the commercial he has for himself beforehand.
His commercial's so great. Yeah.
Great. The little song he sings at the end.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Oh, sing it.
I'm not going to sing the song.
Oh, go ahead and sing the song.
Oh.
You're going to want to sing the song, probably.
Now, you know what?
It is crazy that Michael Keaton is Batman the year after Beetlejuice. It's wild.
Right.
Right. Like, he's acting like the Joker this entire movie.
They know a man who can anchor a series. That's what they know. When they see Keaton, they go, "This is the face of our movie."
This is, yeah.
Even though Beetlejuice, the character, is in the movie Beetlejuice for 17 minutes.
It's
Yeah.
Where's Beetlejuice at for most of the...
he's not introduced on screen, like, in the flesh, if you will, in his scabby flesh, until 45 minutes into the movie.
That's my main complaint. More Beetlejuice, please. Yeah. More feminist psych on Beetlejuice.
It's crazy how little Beetlejuice is in the movie Beetlejuice. It's like they're like, oh, we got this movie Forrest Gump. Let's follow Jenny around for like a long time.
Honestly, would have been a more interesting movie. She's out there.
God. We're coming for Forrest Gump on this.
I'm serious though. Jenny, she was fucking a bunch of dudes. What was Forrest Gump doing?
He ran across the country. Ugh. He met the president. He played ping pong real good.
I've never seen Forrest Gump.
Ugh. He fights in a war.
Boring.
Baba and boring. The whole thing.
But if not for the movie Forrest Gump, we would not have Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, the restaurant. And I think that is
that's true.
The most important contribution it's made to the culture that we have.
I could seriously go for some bubblegum right now.
I'm always going to choose my favorite restaurant, Hooters, over anything else. Shout out to Hooters, my former place of employment as a delivery driver. Shout out to Hooters. All right, let me finish the recap of Beetlejuice, and then we can do other things. So they consult with Beetlejuice, and they find out that he's a pervert, like, within seconds. And they're like, oh, actually, we don't want to meet with this guy.
Oh, but he looks at Gina Davis's skirt, like, 3 seconds after they meet.
The first thing he does is, like, he kisses her whenever. He's just he's another surprise kiss. We'll get into it, but...
We have a grand legacy of surprise kisses. I would say that kiss still is not... worse than Brendan Fraser.
No, it's way worse.
No, it's not. Yes, Brendan Fraser and the Mummy is the worst surprise kiss we've ever talked about on this podcast. It's horrific.
I think that Beetlejuice
Brendan
pushes
Fraser's
it over the top.
Sick in the head in that movie. He lunged. Anyways.
No. At least he's not covered in scabs.
First of all, I would prefer Brendan Fraser be covered in scabs for all of the mummies.
No one's seen him for a while. He could be covered in scabs now. We just don't know.
Oh, he's around. I keep track of him. He's around.
What, are they filming Blast from the Past 2?
No.
That'd be fun.
How about they make a Scarface, but it's not Scarface, it's Scab Face, and it stars Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
Good idea, Jay.
I will sign on as director.
Would you like? Thank you so much.
So anyway, they were like, well, fuck, we can't work with this Beetlejuice guy. He's a gross pervert. And then the family, the Dietzes, find out about the ghosts, the Maitlands. And they're like, we're going to exploit them and like have it be a whole, we're going to have like a little museum and people can come and look at all the ghosts.
It almost becomes a roller coaster movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
But then it doesn't.
And then...
Missed roller coaster opportunity.
Oh, Jesus.
After that, after they find out and they want to exploit him, they invite all their friends up from New York City, and then they have the dance scene.
Oh, the amazing dance scene.
The musical dance scene.
Everyone at that party is dressed to the nines. It's always amazing to me, no matter what movie it happens in, where people dress up to go to someone else's house. It's just like, in what world would I... I mean, I'm
if
currently
If I invite you over to my
bra,
house, I want you
and
to
a jacket.
Look...
But
you're the best.
I came
Jamie.
Over in a tuxedo, and
Mike, you came like looking nice. You know you had like a top layer. Now you're in your fun vegan punk layer, and
I did not come on this podcast to be disrespected like this.
There's a story. Every outfit tells a story.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. It does. It's clothes.
Is
you just need them.
Is your story woke up outside?
I'm gonna go overdose in the bathroom. I have to
somehow slept in a tree.
I have to shut up.
So the next thing that happens in Beetlejuice is the Dietzes are trying to exploit Adam and Barbara. Otho now has the book, the handbook for the recently deceased, and he like does this spell or something to like summon them. And so he summons Adam and Barbara, but they get all like weird and old and they start decaying and stuff. So they're like, crap,
exorcism.
We need... Right. And then Lydia's like, oh shit, I need this Beetlejuice guy's help to fix everything.
And in comes the big problem.
Ooh, you mean when he forces a teenage girl to marry him?
Okay. There...
First he turns into a big snake, which is a different problem.
Says, I've come for your daughter.
You come for your daughter, Chuck, which is a beautiful line.
And he says it to a pervert. Like, it's wild.
Yeah. Fake pervert says it to a real pervert.
I know. That's just a little bit of movie magic.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's just something you can only get in the Burtonverse.
But yeah, the wedding scene is... It's crazy how everything about it is a big old problem, and it's still so much fun to watch. Where he's forcing a teenager to marry him is actively like kind of like shoving her around and being like, "You better marry me, you better." And then whenever Gina Davis tries to speak, he puts a zipper on her mouth. He puts
a metal plate. Yeah,
yeah. It's every frame a woman is in that scene is just like insane.
Yeah, Gina Davis is. Arc in that scene goes zipper on the mouth, metal plate over the mouth, sent to the desert, attacked by a giant snake. Right. It really ramps up quickly.
It's heightening, baby.
Yeah.
Rule of threes. So then...
I mean, Beetlejuice is the rule of threes taken to the extreme.
Feminist icon, Beetlejuice, yes.
I'm sorry, yes.
So the Maitlands are like, no, we can't let him marry this teenage girl. So
seems
they find a way to stop him.
Very cool wedding dress on... Winona Ryder.
It's like all red.
Yeah, maroon.
Well, she's not like the other girls. Duh.
It matches his maroon suit.
Duh, yeah.
And then they're like, no, don't marry each other. And they save Lydia from being married to a pervert. And then Beetlejuice, I forget what happens to him at the end.
Oh,
he goes to the waiting room.
He gets...
Because
they come back, Barbara comes back on the big sandworm snake, and it crashes through the ceiling and eats Beetlejuice and pushes them into hell.
Yeah.
Talk about a feminist icon. The big snake.
Feminist icon, big snake.
Right. And then at the end, the Maitlands and the Dietzes learn to coexist. They just live in the house all together. It's one big happy family.
That's the weirdest part. That's the weirdest part of the movie.
That it ends with a commune.
Not that a 100-something-year-old dead man tries to marry a teenager. Or that a worm is a big plot point, but that these people are like, yeah, we'll let these ghosts raise our child.
Because yeah. They're like, how'd you do on the math test?
Yeah.
And then it's another big fun scene.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, when the writer is up, up on the wires and dancing.
That's great.
So that's this story.
Why don't they let Beetlejuice live with them? It's weird that it's weird that he's the villain of the movie and he's barely in the movie and it's like you're never rooting for him and he's also not the title character.
It's part of why this movie is a bit confusing to me.
No.
I understand it 100%.
Yeah.
You're a sick pervert with a lot of problems.
Listen, it took me a while to peel all the scabs off of my face before I got here.
And let me just say, we're usually not this mean to our guest, so sorry.
This is...
You should see what I've been subjected to in this room. It would...
Whoa.
Mike said that it looked like I woke up in a tree.
True.
Okay, no, I said it looked like you slept in a tree.
And I woke up out of the tree.
Yeah, you fell out of the tree and then you woke up.
The tree.
Anyway, so...
Have I described Jamie's clothes as, quote, bought by the pound before?
I think about that like once a week. I think about that.
That's fine.
It's fine.
All right, let's talk about the portrayal of women
movie.
What
about in this room? Let's start with this room.
I think Caitlin's great.
Fuck off.
Thank you. But I'm not. You're wrong. So the main female character is Barbara. And then we've also got Lydia, and Delia is the stepmother.
Yeah.
And then we have a few like secondary characters, like Juno is the caseworker who has her throat slit open and smoke comes out of it. That's a fun detail.
That's fun.
That is fun.
I love her and the football team together.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
When they keep calling her coach.
Yeah.
And then Jane Butterfield is like the neighbor who's like trying to get them to sell the house.
Oh, yes.
And then as far as like the feminist icon,
Beetlejuice,
who
is a female character.
I would say he transcends gender.
I would say that Beetlejuice is definitely genderless.
Genderless icon. Beetlejuice.
No, in all seriousness, is a man and he's a horny man. And
mm-hmm.
What does Beetlejuice's penis look like?
Oh, God. I don't even.
Striped,
of course, I pictured.
Striped
like,
snake.
Like, very, like, painted
striped
white with
scabs.
A bunch of, like, green scabs all over it.
I have to change my underwear. That description of a haunted, scabby penis.
Is it too much to say that I bet you he comes scabs? Is that too much to say?
No, that's the perfect amount of things to say. In regards to coming scabs.
So there's Beetlejuice
that
and
would,
there's...
Can you imagine the sound?
I hear it every day in my head. It's like hitting open a beehive with a bat.
Let's quit. Beetlejuice is in the movie for like 20 minutes. He's usually sexually assaulting a woman in some way.
Kind of his thing, yeah.
Yeah.
At very least, he's presented as a gross, horny dude.
True. But we're not supposed to be rooting for him.
No.
Which is a confusing thing about this movie.
Yeah, right. Well, it's called Beetlejuice.
Right. But he's like still, I would argue, like a beloved character. Right? Like people are like, yeah Beetlejuice.
I'm already like, oh, I'm going to be Beetlejuice for Halloween.
Yeah.
All female reboot of Beetlejuice.
There was the Beetlejuice cartoon, which came out,
yeah!
where he was a much nicer character.
Oh, good.
And him and Lydia were like friends.
Yeah, and Beetlejuice would sometimes like learn lessons.
Yeah, yeah. Which he'd be like, well, sometimes I guess you have to treat your scabs.
Sometimes you have to share your scabs with your friends.
Let's not talk about scabs anymore.
I can't stop thinking about Beetlejuice coming scabs out of his scab.
You're welcome.
Listeners,
I'm so sorry.
I can't apologize enough for what this discussion has become.
I'm sorry I didn't say it sooner.
Oh, excuse me. This is discourse this time.
This is important
the
discourse.
Listeners are here to be like, what does... Foliaris, we're calling on you.
No, we're not.
We... All right.
So Beetlejuice, he sexually assaults Barbara. He does a surprise kiss.
Right. Lots of he's a skirt peeker.
He
peeks
up and then
everyone's skirt.
There's like a part where he like kind of fondles Alec Baldwin and then he like turns around and then also grabs Barbara. So he's just like fondling them both and it's
He's horny.
He's extremely horny.
He's a horny.
At one point Juno builds a whorehouse.
Right.
Her words.
Yeah. And then a very sharp Beetlejuice.
Very horny Beetlejuice shimmies over to it.
I forget. How does he get sharp?
Gina Davis is just holding him because he's tiny. He's in like the model town that they have in the attic.
I love
when
he's tiny.
So she has him and he's tiny and then he just grows spikes and she drops him. He has like magic powers.
Yeah, what is the...
Because he can just like send her to the desert.
I feel like there's
wearing Alec Baldwin's clothes all of a sudden.
That's a fun part.
There's a lot of world building in this movie, but also not enough because I don't understand like what the limit of what he can do. I don't understand the rules of the world.
He's kind of like a genie, right?
Kind of.
Except there's no wishes,
like,
so it's not like a genie.
And a bad one.
He has
like
to be
if
summoned,
Jafar.
Though.
Jafar, when he becomes a genie at the end of Aladdin, like the return of Jafar, it would be like that.
Yeah. Highly underrated sequel, The Return of Jafar.
I think it's
look
probably
forward
pretty
to our
bad.
Episode. Look forward to our episode on The Return of
feminist,
Jafar.
Feminist icon Jafar.
we're gonna do Return of Jafar. Gay icon. I'll say it.
I think most Disney villains are gay icons. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Scar,
gay.
Super
icon.
Gay.
Ursula, gay icon.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of them.
What's his name from Beauty and the Beast?
Gaston.
Gay icon.
Nah. He's like a fuckboy icon. He's still an icon.
He's
of
an
course.
Icon. He's an icon to
as long as he's an icon.
To fuckboys.
But
he's just a feminist icon.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with this movie. This is like a weird one to discuss because Barbara is, I'd say, plays just as active as a role as Adam does.
Yeah, but they're not like fun. I don't know.
But they're the emotional. They're like the emotional connection to the movie. You want them to not turn into dust.
Right. Right, yeah. There, I would argue, like, dual protagonists.
Yeah.
There's, like,
yeah,
not exactly. One more than the other that sort of has, like, the main focal point. I see, like, they play pretty equal parts. Although, I feel like Alec Baldwin's character is maybe a little bit more active, because he's the one who, like, figures out that you have to draw the door, and he's the one who's, like, doing more to try to read the book and try to figure out the situation. They're both doing, like, haunting stuff. In equal parts.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, if you break it down, like if we did like a dialogue breakdown for this one, for sure Alec Baldwin would edge Gina Davis out. But then at the end we get the big feminist icon, Big Snake. and And
so it really saves, yeah,
saves the day. So that's good.
Yeah, that's true. Because Adam just like gets in a little car and like drives it into Beetlejuice's foot.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And like explodes a little bit, yeah, and he jumps around.
So many fun goofs. But yeah, it's true. Like, so Gina Davis's character kind of saves the day. She goes and yeah, she harnesses the feminist icon Big Snake. That's what leads to Beetlejuice's demise.
Yeah, I thought she was kind of like responsible for right, the big end.
Let's talk about Lydia.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounded like I had a follow-up thought, and I yeah, did, but then I decided not to say it.
You gotta say it now.
So I was looking up because once I was like watching clips of, I was like, oh, for sure there's a million shitty like listicles about how Lydia is a feminist icon. And there are. They're all so funny. Like my favorite one, I found one that was called 9 Times Lydia Deetz Was a 90s Feminist Hero. First of all, this movie came out in 1988.
Yes.
You fucking idiot. And sorry for calling out this Bustle writer, but Bustle's like corporate feminism and I don't care. Mm. So anyways, they're like, Lydia is a feminist because she's weird. Lydia is a feminist because she doesn't wear primary colors. She's a little bit different. So I struggle with Lydia. Granted, when I was younger, I thought she was the coolest person ever, but I do like think that she's just like a weird Tim Burton jerk off like fantasy girl, and she's as a character she's active and
kind of, I can't even really think of an example of like what anything that she does that really influences the direction the story takes, or like,
well, she becomes like their connection to the yeah, living world.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sort of like their, she's like a messenger liaison, almost. Right. But I think she's mostly there to just be like,
what's confusing? Well, not that any of these characters feel like real people.
Except for feminist icon Beetlejuice, of course.
Who's so sorry.
We all know a Beetlejuice.
Apart from him, everyone's a very like Tim Burton-esque version of a person.
Sure.
But Lydia especially felt one-dimensional, and it's just like, oh, she's like a struggling teen, and she's moody, yeah, but also suicidal all of a sudden, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
All of a sudden wants yeah, to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that weird thing where she's like, bring me, like, what are you talking about? She's a problem.
Right. I mean, it's like a very weird depiction of, like, mental illness surge. I don't, like, it's just, it was bizarre, that yeah, choice.
Yeah. I think she's just like, she falls into that same bucket that we talk about over and over and over. It's just like, she's not like the other girls, but she is because she's still conventionally attractive. So it's just like a, I don't know, Tim Burton's version of that very boring constant in movies.
Yeah.
She's different. She's like the equivalent of Julia Roberts fixing a car in My Best Friend's Wedding. Like, oh. Or any woman
Runaway
fixing a
Bride.
Car. Or Runaway Bride. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I still think that she has the best hair in the entire world, and I love her outfits, and I still 100% want to be her.
Mm-hmm.
But it also feels like a trick. Thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like the only big part of like feminist icon Micah Brucey here.
Mike literally texted me several hours ago and requested that.
I asked to be called it the entire time, but I'll take it this.
Right. Well, there you go.
But I think the only part where Lydia's character is like really part of the storyline is right at the end when they're like about to die and Beetlejuice is there and Adam and Barbara are both like, we have to save this little girl, and it's also like, well, she's not that little.
It was weird
that they like I don't know, categorize her as like this little girl. It's like, well, she's like a teenager, and but right. I don't know, but it was, yeah, her character is very like, the more I thought about it, I was more like, she is just always like, watch out, they're coming. And right. She's just, like, there to tell Adam and Barbara that her parents are walking up the stairs.
Yeah,
and,
like, she totally,
that's
yeah,
kind of what her character does.
She could be written out of this movie, except for the last beat, where, like, she becomes relevant to the plot only when she's being forced to marry a corpse. Like,
which I found it interesting that she didn't try to, like, put up more of a fight. That, like, because he's just
yeah,
like, we're getting married, and she's like... Okay.
Well, I think he like cast some weird spell, like she was like trying to say no and like Beatrice maybe say his name, and he like cast that weird spell on her, and then he was talking
like, he,
through
like,
it. Yeah,
yeah, Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But then she just. So. But then she just stood there.
Yeah. There's in that whole scene. It's kind of jarring to watch because there's so many like people taking two steps and then being like, "Hey, don't do that." I'm like, "Keep walking. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, stop the wedding. But they stand in place, and then Beetlejuice is like, "I'm gonna put a steel plate on your mouth." Like there was
all
time.
All someone has to do is say Beetlejuice, which is
people
kind of
cannot
unfisher.
Do it. Cannot
but
get
like,
it out.
They can't. Like it takes them decades to do it.
Beetlejuice.
There's one. Okay, let's try it one two more times.
Beetlejuice, and then he gets him. He gets them with his weird magic powers that we don't know the rules of.
No, we sure don't.
The scene where he makes Lydia try to guess his name.
So
is
long.
Out of control because
so
he immediately shows her. He's like, "All right, I'll show you. Let's play charades." And then he shows her a beetle, and she goes, "Beetle." And then he shows her orange juice, and she goes, "Breakfast."
Breakfast?
Like I would immediately be like, "Bug." Like I wouldn't go to exactly what kind of bug it was,
right?
But then not know what. And great product placement too.
Minute Maid.
You gotta listen. Who else is gonna pay for those big spikes and snakes other than Minute Maid orange juice?
Who's going to make Beetlejuice pointy? You got to ask the big business questions.
Pointy, yeah, that like, movie is definitely in the pocket of Big Orange Juice.
Of Big Orange Juice. Feminist.com Big Orange Juice.
Also, every time Beetlejuice is on the screen, there's a very gratuitous use of like fun sound effects. There's a literal boing at one point. There's a boing in this movie.
It also has like a high amount of Danny Elfman strings.
I love a Danny Elfman score though.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2.
And Men in Black.
Yeah. Wild.
Back to
and
school.
Several others.
Back to School is a really good one.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, I don't think it would fare very well on this podcast.
Hey, most
Nor
movies
most
don't.
Movies.
Yeah, but I think it's a good movie.
I guess like the main points I have for the movie is that like it's weird that most of the time you see Beetlejuice on screen, he is sexually assaulting one of the female characters or forcing them. Well, the whole thing. So
yeah,
he,
and then like. In a stinker. Like, he's just
very cute.
And everyone's like, oh, Beetlejuice. It's what he does.
He's going to honk your boob. He's going to come up and he's going to honk you. And that's what Beetlejuice does. And everyone's like, that's not cool. And then he's like, I'm going to do it.
Well, it's all about complicitness in the Beetlejuice world.
Ugh. So the reason that he needs Lydia to marry him is that he's like, I'm kind of like a tourist. He basically needs like a green card. But it seems like he... Well, we don't understand the rules of this world very well.
There are,
so, like,
the rules are, whatever needs
because he
to
can
happen.
Be summoned and he can, like, live among these people. So what does he want exactly? Does he want to be able to, like, live among the living? Like, what? Anyway.
Sometimes it just sounds like I'm bored and I would rather not be here.
Yeah, I think he wants to get out and just, like, wreak havoc on the world.
Look up more skirts.
Yeah.
There's so many skirts out in the world.
That's true. Lots of skirts to peek up for this old scab. That's what my dad says before he leaves the house every morning.
Hey, just remember, there's so many skirts to peek up out there for this old scab.
Anyway, so he's just like, I gotta marry this teenage girl. Why doesn't he try to marry Barbara or someone?
Interesting criticism.
Yeah.
Well, she's already
happy. Well,
no.
Why not?
Catherine
O'Hara? Why not Caitlyn?
Why doesn't he want to marry me? I think, when he first is brought out, he immediately asks Alec Baldwin if his marriage is going well. To see if he could marry.
That's true. He's closing it. But the thing is, Beetlejuice, he wants to lock it down.
But listen, he's rude. Beetlejuice is the original pickup artist. I think he started negging people.
Feminist icon, Beetlejuice.
Feminist icon, mystery from the TV show Pickup Artist.
Nine Reasons 90s icon, Beetlejuice, is a feminist pickup artist.
He uses your voice to marry you.
He takes away your voice and speaks for you.
Yeah.
He did not lip sync that very well either. Because, like,
Michael Keaton has a lot of skills. I don't know if lip syncing is one of them.
He's amazing in this movie. He's so good. It's great.
There's never... I feel like this movie could only work with Michael Keaton as the character. I feel like most other people are right. so, like, he's so charming that you're like, oh, Beetlejuice, you scamp. But if it was, yeah. like, someone else, he'd be like, this guy needs to go to demon jail or whatever.
Oh, yeah, your test, the Steve Buscemi test.
The Steve Buscemi test. I don't know. I think he might be able to do it. I think Steve Buscemi might be able to do this. I don't know.
To play Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Like, not, it wouldn't be the same, but I think you could have done it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alfred Molina could not do this part.
I think a lot of Michael Keaton's lines were...
Gina Davis's part.
Yeah, that's true.
If he wanted.
I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know who he is.
Shut up.
I swear, I don't
Get
know.
Get out of here.
I don't know who he is.
I feel sick.
You've seen Spider-Man 2?
But only because I don't eat
Have I
vitamins.
Seen... I don't know if I've seen Spider-Man 2.
You have 2. To have. You've seen what? Beetlejuice 200 times.
I mean, 200 might be an exaggeration, but I've seen Beetlejuice a lot.
Yeah.
And I have seen Spider-Man 2 probably 0 times.
It's a classic.
I saw Spider-Man 3.
What? Weird.
No, that's bad.
That was a bad one. That's one of the theaters.
But the dance scene is really good.
Ugh, that's the worst part.
I love the dance scene. And Topher Grace. Where's that guy?
He's probably trying to find the rest of his name.
Where's that guy? Where's Haley Joel Osment? There, I know. A couple days ago,
tabs.
A couple days ago, Haley Joel Osment was near a herd of cattle, and it's like, where are you? Can I come?
I was also near a herd of cattle recently. I was in Pennsylvania visiting my mom, mm-hmm. and I saw llamas, I saw cows, I saw horses just in fields
Did
roaming
you
around.
See Haley Joel Osment?
I didn't. We were not at the same cow field.
Unreal.
I guess.
What's the point?
I know. Hey, let's talk about whether this movie passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Yeah, as in, yeah, let's talk about it, or yeah, as in, yeah, it does.
I think it does.
I think it does, too.
Yeah. It does.
It does.
Yeah.
I was really keeping an eye out. I was like, I picked this, and I really hope it does.
Everything's riding on this. Yeah.
yeah. And it,
it does.
And in fact, right away, like, the Jane yeah. Butterfield character comes up to the house, and mm-hmm. she's like, I found a family who wants to buy this from you, and da-da-da. And she's like, go away, Jane.
Right. There's a lot of, yeah, there's a yeah. lot of, like, it passes a lot of times mm-hmm. for yeah. a movie that has prominent scab man skirt peeking.
Whose
Marriage
main character
of a teenager, like,
is an undead sexual assailant.
Just to prove that it is a flawed system.
right.
Because it passes many times.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like every time Barbara and Juno talk.
Yep.
Right.
It's like they're just talking about, like, you got to be better at being dead. or like whatever she talks about with her weird throat.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. If you look up that actress, young, total hottie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want to know. I wonder what the woman who works behind, like, the woman who plays the receptionist in
the one who's like, too bad I slipped my wrist.
Yeah, yeah, my that. Little accident. And right. she, like, shows off her.
And everyone goes,
I want to know
who's.
Yeah, I should have looked up who that is because I was like, you're like, fun. I bet you.
Star.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's the lady who's, like, sawed in half. You see her torso sitting, and then
yeah.
next to her is her leg.
Yeah, and Beetlejuice tries to grab her leg, and then her top half slaps him.
Yeah.
So
good
he's not
her.
Doing great. Yeah, yeah, but she's one of the only women who stuck up for herself in this movie.
Yeah,
against Beetlejuice.
It's true.
Until he gets eaten by a feminist icon, Big Snake.
It's crazy to just see like two feminist icons in the same scene together, and one gets eaten by the other.
Also, scenes where Lydia talks to her stepmom, and mm-hmm. scenes where Barbara talks to Lydia. A lot of times, like there are men in the room when that happens, but.
But
there's like isolated conversations between two women that pass.
It yeah. passes handily.
I feel like if you had a dialogue breakdown, I think there might in this movie it might be that women talk more than men because I feel like there's more prominent female characters in the movie. Like mm-hmm. the male characters that like have a bunch of lines are Alec Baldwin, the dad, and Otho, and Beetlejuice probably is behind all of them because he's barely there.
Yeah,
and then it's like because then you have like. Big monologues from Juno. You have the lady in the reception, and then you have like Barbara and Catherine O'Hara and Lydia, like all.
Yeah.
And then True. You have like all the people from the party, but none of them really talk.
No,
they all
just
kind of like
they
sit
just
there.
Dance.
Yeah. And then Otho is mean to that woman that he brought for some reason.
I like Otho so much. We didn't really get to talk about Otho, but Otho rules.
Yeah, I hated him as a kid.
Oh,
as a kid, because I was like, yes. he's trying to ruin the house that these people love. And then now I'm like, yeah, he's like a funny character.
He's fun. He's a great dancer.
Mm. There's a scene where Lydia's talking to her stepmom about ghosts, and then Delia is like, my agent Bernard is coming for the dinner party. Not to be confused with Bernard from Spider-Man 2.
I really gotta watch this. There's a great
I'll describe it to you. There's this great scene that James Franco's in Spider-Man 2 where they're trying to replicate the magic between Batman and his butler, Michael Caine, but it's James Franco and his butler, Bernard. And Bernard enters. It's the only line he has in the whole movie. He's out of focus. And he says, "Sir, your father
only obsessed over his work."
Right, yeah. And then James Franco says, "Good night, Bernard."
Wait, who does James Franco play in Spider-Man?
Harry. Spider-Man's best friend. But it's complicated because he's Spider-Man. Let's talk about Spider-Man. Anyways.
What if Spider-Man starred in It's Complicated? Wouldn't that be fun? Another Alec Baldwin joint.
Oh, yeah.
One of the only movies my father has ever talked to me about.
That's so weird.
It's a movie about divorce. What do you think? Of course he's going to be into it.
Yeah, when you get divorced, all you want to do is see other media about divorce.
You know, you like to see yourself in the things you watch.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
So he only watches It's Complicated movie. And Blue Crush.
the surfer movie?
The surfer movie.
Is there divorce in that movie?
No, I think he just likes surfing.
Your dad's great.
Hey, let's rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Okay.
So we rate the movie on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. So I'm going to give it... Oh, man. Again, this is a tough one. Thinking back to all the discourse we had about scabby cum.
my daughter? Scabby cum? Yes, her.
That sounds like an old-timey like guy who's like a tonic salesman. He's like, "Scabby, come here to tell you about this new tonic I've made up.
It turns you cum into scab."
I'm sorry I brought it up again.
He's a little bit on the nose as a salesman.
So I'm going to give it, I guess, 2.5 nipples because there are a lot of pretty significant roles for women. They're all mostly playing a pretty active role in the story, in the narrative, to, like, move it forward. Mm-hmm. I'd say probably just as much as any of the male characters. It is concerning to me that pretty much any time Beetlejuice is on screen, he is sexually assaulting the nearest female character. And while the other characters are like, "Oh, you're a pervert, he's gross, he's bad," us as a society are like,
"He's funny.
He's funny. He's funny. Cool. I like him.
What does his penis look like?"
That's pretty much just us. But now we've put that question out in the world.
There's got to be erotic Beetlejuice fan fiction.
Okay.
Look it up.
Okay.
So, yeah, so 2.5 nipples, just because I'm not really sure what to make of this movie. And the nipples belong to the dog that they have to avoid crashing into.
The dog that kills them.
The dog that kills them. And they have to swerve to miss the dog, and they crash and go over a bridge. So that dog, which I'm guessing has 8 nipples, because if a dog is anything like a cat, it has 8 nipples. This has been Cat Facts with Caitlin. So 2.5 nipples, and they belong to the shaggy dog.
That dog killed them. He was on a board that was holding up the car, and then he jumped off. And that just proves my point that I've made over the years, that every dog is rude.
I'm pretty sure that fall would not have killed those
It was
people.
Such a short fall.
Yeah. It was like 20 feet at most.
It was like I've jumped off of things into water that high.
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
They could have escaped that car. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe that they died.
I just think they didn't want to live anymore. They just they hit the water and they immediately were like, "Well, we've resigned to this now."
Guys, in this Beetlejuice erotic fanfiction I've been reading while you've been having this conversation, he's referred to as Beege.
Beege?
Beege's eyes bulge out of his head at the look of Lydia's corset.
Oh, no.
Oh, he fucks Lydia.
Oh, 100%.
Why wouldn't he? I want him to fuck Big Snake. I want him to have sex with
Snake. Snake fucks him.
Yeah.
Big Snake goes straight through Beetlejuice.
But Beetlejuice
exploded into spikes.
Which is the way that he comes.
Yeah. No!
He turns into scabs.
Scabs. Oh, okay. I'm going to give it... Sorry, that was like a very intense fanfic. We'll link it. Link in description. This disgusting fanfiction. Just kidding. Okay. I'm going to give it... I think I'm going to give it 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it two nippies for all the reasons you described, but it's, I don't know, like, I wish Gina Davis's character was more active. I think that minus the end, you could totally write out Winona Ryder out of this movie and it would not make that much of a difference. There are a lot of female characters, but not all of them are important enough to the plot. Beetlejuice, feminist icon though, and that's important. That's true. At the end of the day, we got a feminist icon out of this movie, and what more could you ask for?
Well, part of the movie, if you isolate the conflict, which is that they don't want these people in their house, they need Beetlejuice's help, but as soon as they get it, they don't want it anymore, and then right. It's like a matter of getting rid of, I don't know, like,
it's all over the place.
The story is, I think the problem with, like, maybe because the female characters aren't as, like, active as we'd like them to be, is because, mm-hmm. like, the narrative is bananas and, like, not that well constructed. Yeah, you right. heard it here first.
Whoa.
From Caitlin and her really good opinions.
You have 2 degrees.
I have 2 degrees, and one of them is a master's in screenwriting from Boston University. Fuck all of you who are like, show us your degree. I don't have to show you anything.
I'm a truther.
I have 9 degrees.
No, I don't believe you. All of them. You should believe me.
All of them are in film. I got them from various universities, mm-hmm. 9 different ones to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give this, it's hard, from 0 to 5, I feel like 3 is too generous, but I want to say 3 because I feel like most of the male characters are in the movie are very passive, like other than wanting to buy the whole town and turn it into an amusement park.
And escape the confines of death.
Yeah, but just like, the father, he literally just like sits in a room for most of the movie. So like,
he's don't disturb me.
Yeah, the conflict is that like Delia wants to like redo the house. So it's like, right, I think it's kind true. Of her she's pushing, active. She's pushing the conflict way more than he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, I think like Barbara and Adam are like very even. They're kind mm-hmm. of like, he is kind of like being like, oh, did you draw the door and you knock on it? But she's like, we gotta read the book. Like, she's like pushing for them to do the stuff. So it's like, I feel like it's pretty even, and I feel like really the movie is a vehicle for Tim Burton painting people's faces with scabs. I feel like it's mostly that, and mostly him building little tiny models of towns.
Oh, tiny head feminist icon.
Tiny head feminist icon. Feminist icon, woman's legs. There's a lot of feminist icons in this movie.
Headless woman of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Literally.
Feminist icon football team. There's so many.
Dead football team feminist icons. Oh, boy.
And I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, give your nippies.
So I'm gonna say 3 because you never know and it's never said, and I'm just gonna say that Big Snake is a woman.
Whoa,
very easily could be.
Noah, you know what? You can't tell just by looking at him.
Who are you giving your nipples to?
I'm gonna put those 3 nipples on the big snake.
On the big snake.
But
give me that snake mail.
But 2 for eyes and then 1 in the middle of the head.
Okay, yeah. Like a cyclops.
Yeah,
nipple snake.
Yeah.
My nipples are penises and they're Beetlejuices.
And I think we should end the episode there. Oh, wait,
can my nipples be the nipples of the woman in Total Recall that has 3 boobs?
No!
Okay, well, you know what? It's always great to ask.
Yes, please ask consent for permission.
Yeah, of course.
So, Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you online?
I'm at Mike Abruzzi on all the social media, and I have a website, MikeAbruzzi.com, that I have never updated. So it's pointless. But
is it made on Wix?
It is made on Wix.
I knew it.
And it's free, and it tells you that it's made on Wix, because I'm not going to pay money for it to not say that.
I knew it.
Of course.
And shout out to Leif.
Yeah, hell
for
yeah,
recording for us. What's the name of your podcast network again?
The Brain Machine Network. Go to brainmachinecomedy.com.
Hell yeah.
You gotta check out brainmachinecomedy.com. Although Mike did suggest that it should be rebranded as Leif's Little Podcast.
I think it should be called Leif's Little Podcast.
I'm all for it.
You heard it here first.
Thank you again for having us here. Thanks for being here. You can follow us at Bechdelcast on Twitter, on Instagram. You can check us out on Facebook. We've got a website.
Wow.
Bechdelcast.com.
Made on Wix?
Not made on Wix.
Squarespace.
Oh, God.
That's it.
That'll do.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Come scabs.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.